Good evening, everybody. This is Brian Powers. It's Wednesday night at 8 p.m. We go live every week at this time on YouTube and Twitter, on our Facebook page, as well as YouTube, Twitter, Facebook page, and my personal Facebook page. And sometimes we go out on 15 now, I think, for tonight. So wherever you're checking us out, thanks for tuning in. I am here with my partner, Diane Moxley. We are not in studio together for another week, and I imagine it's still going to be a few more weeks before you and I get to hang out a little bit before and after these shows in person, Diane. I miss it, though. We haven't had enough banter. We really haven't. How have you been?
Okay. Yourself?
I have to look to see what if I'm wearing PJs, or I have no idea what day it is, whether it's night or morning.
You don't know what I'm wearing right now.
I have no idea, right? I mean, I did put on jeans for this because this shot sometimes, you know, but I can imagine something with reindeer on it or something of that nature.
Yeah, you can have fun with it. I had a court hearing this week and it was just weird. I took the call in my bedroom because it's the quietest room in the house.
Yeah.
And it is like, oh, do I have to get dressed? It's not on video.
I've been it for a long time. It's working from home, being Mr. Mom kind of deal. It's been great. I enjoy it, but it does, it messes up my sleep cycle. Something awful. I don't know I sleep when I'm tired, which could be in the middle of the day, could be, mm-hmm. Whatever. But I mean, you're talking to a guy that's been kind of doing this for over a year now. So honestly, like y'all are in my world. It's kind of funny watching it.
Yeah.
But it is different. That's for sure. It's odd.
Yeah. And no end in sight, even though we have the crazy orange man talking about wanting all the churches to be full on Easter Sunday. So there's some kind of death cult thing going on out there where, I guess some of the radio and, Fox News pundits, and also including the lieutenant governor of Texas, are calling for a senior sacrifice.
Unbelievable. Right? Let's get more into that when Lori comes on the show. But I do want to mention
suicidal seniors. Yep.
But I do want to mention some show sponsors here. Our main sponsor this week is Hub City Smokes in New Brunswick. I'm pretty sure he's closed up right now, but he did give a sponsorship and we're going to continue to promote him. I don't know what's going on with some of our businesses. I've been reaching out to the sponsors and the small businesses that we work with at New Jersey Revolution Radio. I know the Coffee House on Amboy Avenue, Edison. You can call in. They'll do a curbside takeout. You can come in if you want. I went in there for a cup the other day. I went to go do a grocery run for grandma. And I said, let me stop in. He's a pretty clean guy. I took a look. And he's every customer that comes in one at a time. He wipes the counter, every single customer. It's only paper cups. There's no, normally you get your cup of Joe and go over to the coffee bar and get your thing. None of that going on. You get everything from the server. So he's taking all the precautions and I stepped in. But I understand people not wanting to go out and not only eat, kind of buy food from the supermarket where you can be sure of it. But again, we'll get into that with Lori in just a minute. We are, before we get into all that, though, going to bring in my partner, Heather Warburton from Wine, Women, and Revolution. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
All right. I forgot to do it. Let me just cue this up real quick.
My theme music.
Sweetest theme music ever. So Heather runs Wine, Women, and Revolution, and most people don't realize, I think, because our shows, we do different shows and different broadcasts, that we partner every day on this thing. We talk every day. We put websites together and we argue about things. And so Heather is definitely half of what goes on here as far as day-to-day operations. I mean, many, many people are involved, but, not only does she do Wine, Women, and Revolution and head up our productions department, but she is also, half owner in this company and really makes it happen every day. So thanks, comrade. I always, I appreciate you and I appreciate what you do for this company. How are you?
I'm a little stir crazy. Like, as much as I say I'm antisocial, I kind of miss people. It's turning out.
Once they're forbidden, you miss them.
Yeah, I miss the concept of people. But I've been pretty busy. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff this week with NJR. I think because I miss people, we're doing a lot of live streams this week as part of my trying to compensate for not being able to see people in real life, I think.
Yeah. We've had way too many ideas and really not followed through on enough of them as far as I'm concerned. Because, I mean, we're just sitting around. We do these live streams and, you know, we're getting more into it and we're getting more into the studio with the software where we can make scrolls and stuff. And by the way, you can sponsor New Jersey Revolution Radio now for only $10. If you want to put a message up, if you want to say hi, mom, if you got a food drive going on, if you got a small business or whatever, $10, whatever, we'll put your name on a scroll. But, we got a lot of stuff going on these live streams. And now we're sitting home and it's like, wow, we were kind of ahead of the curve because we really started fleshing this new product out like in January, you know?
Yeah, we're kind of the leaders on this, hiding in our basements, as it were. But and we're doing a web redesign. Let's not forget that too. That's another big project we're working on.
Sure, you want to take us on a tour? Are we ready to show it off yet?
Are we taking? We're doing a tour of it. Oh, that would be fun. Sure, but yeah, I think if we're ready to show it off. It's still developing, but it's coming along. It's very different from what we had before.
Yep.
You haven't even seen your show graphic yet, so hopefully you like it.
Oh, look at that. Diane hated our show graphic. She wanted to kill me for printing out all them cards.
See, oh, looking out for you. You have a new one. Yeah.
This isn't a new one. This is your older picture, but now it's the two of us. The reason why I had that other picture, because it was the only one of the two of us. This is my headshot and then your headshot. Nice.
Okay.
It looks so good. I told you I would change it as soon as possible, Diane.
Women having each other's backs. Thank you.
There you go. There you go. Man, screwing it up terribly. All right. And then we also have a journey to me now. Are we going to make sure that we plug this along the way? I just noticed as we're scrolling.
Yeah, we're really getting close to being able to buy a fairly important piece of sound gear that whenever I'm actually allowed to get back in a room with Blake, that we'll be able to start recording some interviews with him. We're so close. Just a few more donations will get us there. So if anyone can, chip in a couple of bucks, that would be huge in getting us this crucial audio component.
No. So for those of you that don't know, this movie is a comrade of ours, Heather, met through her activist work down in South Jersey. And the guy has a pretty interesting life story. Came out around 43 years old, I believe, mid-40s.
Mid-40s.
You know, to his family as gay. He was a minister in a conservative town in a conservative church
in Texas.
You know, there's a lot of struggle there and a family story and all that. He has children, the guy believes his story can help others. I've been inspired by it. I know Heather has, so and what's the microphones is what we want, right? The good microphone service.
Yeah, the microphones, like the wireless microphone packs, which are so much more expensive than you might think they should be. But, you know, you can't just have giant microphones like we're talking on in a documentary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing on the website, of course, is Commison, which is just our pride and joy. And can we, we can segue, right? Look at this segue. Am I good or what, right? But you can do that's not done. Let's shop commies on first. So shop commies on. You can see this tab up here. We only have one product right now. The author of No More Measles is going to be on with us in just 1 second. There she is in the studio. You can go here, commieson.com. We've got No More Measles and we're beta testing it right now. We're seeing, what kind of things we can carry. We really want to help out artists. We really want to help out authors getting books moving. We want to take away from that corporate establishment, chunk of capitalism and start funneling those resources into this independent media work that we do here at New Jersey Revolution Radio while also supporting independent authors and stuff like that. And I know, Heather, you've had some ideas about artists and art and stuff. So, that's a segue back to you for
us. Yep. We're looking, hopefully, if this doesn't end, I'd like it to end as quickly as possible. But if not, then, we're talking about sort of organizing some sort of virtual art show, which would be awesome. But I want to plug the stuff that we'd have already scheduled for this week. On Friday, We're redoing, we're having Jeremy back. About a month ago, I did a live stream with Jeremy talking about individualism versus individuality. And this time we're going to pick up and talk about some more socialist or communist theory. We've been reading Engels on the origin of the family. So we're going to start talking about the commodification of relationships under capitalism. And, you know, that book is a little dry, but we're going to try to liven it up slightly.
Why do so I, that should be fun. That one's going to hurt me a little bit. That one's going to poke in my heartstrings. The commodification of personal. Yeah. I don't like her in there. I may skip.
Yeah. Yeah. <it's okay. laughs> But yeah, so that's going to be Friday at 5 o'clock. It's going to be live on New Jersey Revolution Radio, on Twitter, on YouTube, all the places that we live stream things. So that should be a fun one. You can join in. If you've read that book, join in and add to the discussion, because we certainly don't claim to be experts on it. We're just people that read it. And then Sunday, I think Brian's going to be joining me. We're doing a crossover show with Nooks and Crannies, which are some Canadian communists that I've made friends with. They've had me on their show, I think 2 times, but it ended up being 3 different shows. So we're kind of reciprocating, and we're having them back as on a live stream. Matt and Evan, their names are, and they live up in, you know, our friends to the north. And that should be a really interesting live show. We're just going to be talking about, you know, a little bit of current events, what's going on, how they're different with what's going on with the coronavirus versus what's going on down here, and just all kinds of, you know, hopefully they'll be sneaking us into Canada if the need arises.
Yes, I
heard that. Yep. Did you hear any of the Canadian? Diane has been doing her own podcast all over the place too. I don't know if you've heard any of our Canadian appearances, Diane.
No, I haven't, but I'll definitely tune in on Sunday. You said Sunday, right, Heather?
Yep, Sunday at 4, and I think Brian's also going to be joining us, right, Brian?
Yeah, I'll hang out with him. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm looking. The last one she did was very prophetic. I mean, she was talking about this outbreak wave, like kind of a little bit of ahead of the curve. She was warning people. Heather was one of the people out ahead of this thing. When I listened to it, I was like, wow, we all should have paid more attention to this.
It ended up being creepy, actually.
Leads us right into Lori. I know, Lori, we've been eating away at the topic while she sits there patiently. So I really wanted to talk about some other stuff. It's hard, though. It's hard to keep into everything at this point. But thanks for joining us, Lori. How you been?
Yep, pretty good. How are you? I'm staying away from people. So
I'm just going to give you a quick intro, because I know we all know you, but just in case some of our viewers don't know, as Brian said, Lori Endicott Thomas is an editor who has worked in medical and academic publishing for more than 25 years. And as Brian said, on CommiZone, you can get her book, which is very relevant today with what's going on, and that's No More Measles. So...
yeah, the No More Measles, I wrote that because a friend of mine called me up because his wife was about to have a baby, and they were planning to have the baby at home delivered by a midwife. And the midwife told them, don't vaccinate your children.
Mm.
And my friend said, WTF? And he realized this meant that with this midwife delivering so many of the babies in town, that this must mean that there's a lot of families in town who weren't vaccinating their kids, which meant that he was in a hot zone in case pertussis broke out, and pertussis is lethal to babies. So he called me up on the phone. He was just really upset, and he said, Lori, please write a book about vaccinations. So I did. And the message that I want to get across in the book is that the diseases that we vaccinate against are very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And we vaccinate against them because they're dangerous. There's no other really good way to prevent them. And they don't respond well to treatment, often because they look like other diseases until they get into a really advanced stage. Mm-hmm. Or there is no treatment. There is no effective treatment for them. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that now with coronavirus. The reason that the coronavirus, there's confusion because the name of the virus itself is different from the name of the disease that is caught, that it's caused by, or that it causes. The name of the disease is COVID-17, and the name of the virus is different. So if you see confusion of the names, I mean, the virus that causes COVID-19 is sort of like the agent for, or the artist formerly known as Prince. Where the disease is COVID-19, and the virus that causes it is a coronavirus. And it's SARS-CoV-2 or something like that. I forget what the name of the virus is, but it's it is a coronavirus. There's a lot of coronaviruses out there. Each one has a specific species that it likes to infect. So there are some coronaviruses that affect cattle, and that there's a vaccine against them. So, you know, that causes pneumonia, I think, in cattle. So they shipping fever, basically, you know, that the animals, they get immunosuppressed because of the stress of shipping. So they vaccinate them against this coronavirus and against Escherichia coli, which is a common gut in bacteria. So there is a vaccine against some animal coronavirus, but it doesn't work against this coronavirus that's affecting humans. There is no vaccine against this current coronavirus, which is a problem because vaccination is the only effective way to prevent the transmission of diseases that spread easily by person to person through direct contact or airborne particles. So that's why, because we don't have a vaccine, it's so important to exercise what they're calling social distancing. Now, for science fiction fans out there, let's call it something different. Let's call it corporeal distancing. So it means to keep your body away from somebody else's body. So you stay, you know, keep a physical distance between your bodies. You can still maintain close social connections through telephone or, you know, Skyping people or, you know, calling them on the phone. Just don't get your body near their body. Don't get in there. Don't breathe in their airspace. Don't touch anything they've touched. So have a corporeal distancing at this time, so we don't swap airborne germs.
And I'm even, and maybe the science isn't there yet, but I've heard some recent murmuring about how long this virus can stay in the air. And I guess there's some new information. Have you heard anything about that, that it might make just really important for us to keep that distance? And as you said, if you want to socialize, phone, video, et cetera, right?
Well, any kind of statement about how long this stuff lasts in the air is going to depend on other variables, such as the relative humidity, the absolute humidity, the temperature, how much you, ultraviolet light. I mean, all these variables. So it's and also these studies that they're coming out with, nothing's been through peer review and nothing's been replicated yet. So exactly how long it will last in the air indoors at a certain temperature at a certain humidity, who knows? Just stay away from other people for the time being.
Absolutely.
And especially keep the elderly people away from people who could be carrying this. This is really important to keep them sheltered.
I just saw in the news that in my town, there's a nursing home where all 94 residents have it. I think there were 70 tested positive, and they're just pretty much assuming that everybody has it. Not good.
No.
How has been, where are we at as far as our medical capacity goes? Do you know, Lori, I mean, I know we talk about, you know, the year about flattening the curve so that we stay within the capacity of our existing medical system. Where are we at? How much room do we have left? What does this look like? Is there?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. One thing I did hear from a source that I trust is that there is a serious shortage of personal protective equipment for healthcare providers. So I don't know what we can do about that. Michael Moore was saying that people who work in factories that can make this stuff should just take over the factories and make the stuff, yeah, whether their bosses like it or not. Yeah. And companies that could make ventilators should, the workers should just start making ventilators, whether the boss wants them to or not. So that sounds quite reasonable to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm.
You're gonna have to arm them first, Mike. It sounds like a great plan if you're Michael Moore. It's a different kind of plan if you're one of those actual workers, you know?
Yeah, but there are certain kinds of protections. There are certain kinds of protections for, it depends on the state law, but if you were, you know, there are some kinds of, you know, doing the right thing can't, you know, they can't fire you in some states for doing the right thing.
Oh, not good.
So, you know, yeah, I hope you have free legal aid to pursue that case.
Yeah. I think my idea of arming them is a lot more effective, but what can I do? You're a peace person.
I'm a peace person.
Yeah. Looking at the state's response. So they did put up this website here. I've been going to this. I've been recommending this to people because it's got a lot of good factual data on it. You know, look, I bash Phil Murphy all the time, but I'm a fair person. And I think there's some things that I'm annoyed with because I'm hearing behind the scenes that his commissioners and the people working in state jobs are not really being given safe environments. And there's already commissioners complaining about how people should be back at work and all this.
Yeah. So
people in the Murphy administration that are not getting the message. And I hope Governor Murphy and his people understand that he needs to get that message out to his people as well. But you know, as far as public facing stuff, public messaging, talking about social distancing, I think he's had a decent narrative since he's gotten going. And I think he means business. Did anybody see the video clip of Italian mayors yelling at people in the streets and stuff?
I saw that. I
heard about it.
If you see it on the internet, watch it. And there's an Italian mayor, he's sitting at the camera, and he's so angry. And he looks at that camera and he says, "If you have a party in your house, I will send the police to your house with a flamethrower." I mean, and he means it. Like, he means it. Like, and there's another guy, he's walking around the town yelling it. Like, Italian mayor really losing their shit. You know, so it may come to, we have to do that, you know, but I think that, you know, Governor Murphy, so this website, you know, it's COVID-19NJ.gov for people in New Jersey, but there's also some other stuff. Have you seen, Lori, on a federal level or these other things, do you see good information being put out, at least if you're not listening to Donald Trump's mouth, you know, as far as public facing information, how's
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have anything to check it against. So, I mean, I trust that, I mean, the scientists who work in public health are generally pretty smart. And they tend to be, I mean, to get to that level that you become recognized as an expert on something like this, you have to be pretty smart and you have to have a curriculum vitae that's very long. So you have to be very smart, very accomplished and all that. But you have to be so smart that you could have made a lot of money if you had taken a different route with your career. So these people were pursuing something that they think is important. Mm-hmm. They could have made a lot more money doing something else. They decided to do something meaningful with their careers. And that kind of person should be respected. And when they tell you something, for your own good, you should listen. Mm-hmm. And I say that as I've rubbed elbows with all sorts of different people in medical publishing over the past 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the people who work in the public health service, the people who work for the CDC and so forth, they tend to be very public spirited. They tend to be honest. You know, they're not being tempted by huge profits.
Mm-hmm.
So,
any questions from South Jersey before we do our commercials?
I guess I didn't watch the briefing today, but how many cases are we up to in New Jersey now? Do we know? Is it still that exponential growth or is it starting to plateau?
How many people are we testing?
Yeah.
I mean, I had background. My major was in the social sciences, so I have this appreciation for how hard it is to measure things. So, you know, there's their reality, which is the number of cases that exist, and then there are your measurements, which depend on how many people that you test, and then your projection of how many people are infected based on, you know, how the percentage of people who got sick from the number of people you tested, and even that's going to be affected by how do you decide whom to test. Mm-hmm. So it's just a can of worms. There's really no knowing. You know, I hate to be, you know, throwing cold water on numbers like that, but mm-hmm. there's just no knowing. I mean, there could be lots of people walking around with this who don't even know they're sick. There could be people who've had it in the past few months that they thought it was a different viral infection. You just don't know.
Ah, that's so reassuring.
I know. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but
yeah. You know, that's the way. Stay the hell away from people.
Stay away from people. And wash your hands with soap and water.
Pop the oily bubble. That's what we learned. Pop the oily bubble. On Lori has been around. She was on the Eric Dawson show. Were you on twice or three times this week?
I was on there twice, I think.
Yeah, I know. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I know Lori's been making the rounds, promoting her book. So check out commieson.com. No More Measles. The truth about vaccines and your health. We're really proud of this thing, and we'd love to get more artists too. So, you know, check out her book. It's a downloadable PDF. You're sitting at home, you're chilling out, you could use a good book. It's a topic of the day. $3.99, download a PDF on commieson.com or New Jersey Revolution Radio. You find a little link on there for it. Let's talk about our sponsors here really quickly. Tonight's main sponsor is Hub City Smokes, 84 Patterson Street in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Dimitri over there has been a great supporter of New Jersey Revolution Radio, sponsoring Arts and Activism, sponsoring New Jersey Revolution Radio Live right here with us. He's an artist himself, glassware, bongs, water pipes. My favorite pipe right here that I got back from the police just a couple of weeks ago. Thank you, Middlesex County Sheriff's Department, for returning my glass pipe from Hub City Smokes. Appreciate it. He's got CBD rolling papers. So I don't think he's open right now. I did stop by the other day. I was rolling around doing some deliveries and saw that the shop was closed. But I'm sure when things open up, you know, he'll need your patronage. Our other sponsor, the coffee house, Amboy Evan Edison, as far as I know right now, call them up. They'll bring it out curbside for you, or you can go in there. They are wiping down after every customer. Paper cups only. Customers aren't touching the milk, and it's a super safe environment. So, you know, if you are out, I don't recommend you going out, but if you do have to get out for vital supplies, you want to get something to eat, that's good. Stop by the coffee house. Amboy Evan Edison. And last but not least, of course, the August Agency, our comrade over there, Charlie. He does our QuickBooks because we hate QuickBooks, and he likes them for some reason. I don't know. Does he like them, Heather?
I don't know. He's very strange. He managed to get the submission somehow. I have no idea.
What a good dude. Loves spreadsheets, loves QuickBooks. We love him. Charlie at the August Agency, www.theaugustagency.biz. Or you can call 201-895-7227. I'm going to say that one more time, because if you're listening on the podcast, you didn't write it down. But you can write down this time. August Agency, 201-895-7227, www.theaugustagency.biz. Check out our comrades and make sure when you support our sponsors, you know, make sure, hey, I heard you guys on Revolution Radio, you know, and we want them to know that we get out and we patronize these businesses. All right. I didn't mean to do that. I want to stop the music. All right, Diane, I'm going to hop off because it's crowded.
Okay.
Teresa Marquila, and we're just going to leave a female panel here to talk about mutual aid. I can't wait to watch. I'm looking forward to it. Have fun.
Okay. See you later, Brian. Okay. Our squares are realigned. Hello, Teresa. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good, good. And I know you've been on our show before. Thank you so much. But for the small amount of viewers who may not know who Teresa Markila is, because I know most of our viewers do, because you're an activist extraordinaire and you've been on our show before. But you organized with the Green Party of Morris County, the Great Foodscape, and now the newly formed Mutual Morris, which is a newly established mutual aid group. Those are your prime entities that you're organizing with right now. Is that correct?
That's right. And I was just here a few short weeks ago talking about the Great Foodscape and the idea of helping people to grow their own victory gardens, their neighborhood sharing with each other in anticipation of something like this happening. But I had no idea it would be happening so soon. And we don't have all of our plants in the ground yet. They're still seedlings.
Yeah. So you're going to continue with that project, but you're giving a lot of attention to this mutual aid project, correct?
Yes. So pretty early on, we started to realize that there was going to be a problem with a lot of our community who are low income, vulnerable people. So we started going out and handing out soap and oranges in the street, along with flyers about what we knew about the virus at the time. It feels like 3 months ago, but I think it was only about 2 weeks ago. To educate people and to let them know that something was going on that they needed to start thinking about. And with my contact information on it, so that if people got sick or if people were quarantined and they needed something, they could reach out and let me know. And this was an idea that I'd been thinking about for a long time, how to build mutual aid and community sufficiency, community resiliency, different kinds of ways of building communities that were for the people, like community land trusts, the community gardens, community lending, really bringing in a lot of different community empowerment programs together into one thing. But again, I didn't expect to start putting any of it to practical use right away. They were just ideas at the time. And when this happened, we immediately started with the mutual aid to get the community to come together to buy groceries for each other, get medicine for each other, start, you know, taking care of whatever our needs were. And we didn't know what they were going to be at the time, but we figured something was happening. So we were going to stores and they were allowing us to put flyers up in their windows. We were going to low-income housing and posting flyers and talking to residents in the streets. I started a Facebook group, sent out emails to all my networks, and got a number of people who were interested in being a part of it, interested in volunteering. And it took a little while, but really in the last 4 or 5 days, people have started calling now. People who have run out of food, lost their jobs, become sick, whatever their situation is. And every day we're getting more and more calls, more and more people who need something. And as most of us probably know, governments, corporations, the nonprofit industrial complex are not great to rely on in times of need. So our community is pulling together. We've had members who have reached out to local organizations like Local Meals on Wheels, local groups that do deliveries of various kinds, and not even getting calls back. So we imagine that all of the resources are really overwhelmed right now.
Yeah.
Food pantries, some of them are stocked and getting lots of donations. Some of them are running low. So we've had a lot of volunteers who are going to grocery stores. Obviously, we teach them the precautions, but they'll go to grocery stores and buy needed supplies for people, go and deliver them to their homes, send them a text message when they get there, leave it at the door so they're not in contact with each other. We're trying to keep everybody really safe. And so we set up a dispatch service. When people call in, we find out what their needs are, what their family situation is, who's in their family. We dispatch a local volunteer who will go and take care of them. We have a GoFundMe that we started to raise money as well to help with this. We've spent well over what we've raised so far, so we are still looking for donations, would be really appreciated.
And what is that GoFundMe?
It is GoFundMe.com/COVID-19-mutual-aid-support. I don't know if there's a way to share the link on here, but I can share it on Facebook or something.
You could drop it in the comments in the stream on Facebook. At least I know how to do that, but I'm not on all the platforms simultaneously. So if you want to drop it in the comments, gotcha, so people can check it out.
So food and other supplies, diapers. A lot of people are running out of diapers. Obviously, that's an emergency too. We're trying to find people who are
running out of diapers. I'm losing a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now yes. I can. Okay. I was just saying that diapers are a hot commodity right now. People are really looking for diapers. We have set up donation bins at a number of residences around Morris County. People are letting us use the ends of their driveway to set up a bin with a flyer, letting them know it's a Mutual Morris drop-off point so that people can donate items into the bin without having social contact with the person who lives there. That person then calls us and we go. So we have Madison, Parsippany, Morristown, Dover, Roxbury, and Jefferson Township, I think are all of the different locations that people can drop off stuff. But gift cards are welcome too. I'd love to get gift cards. Or we're also seeking out people who are able to sew masks, which seems to be the thing for sewing types right now to do when they're stuck at home is make masks for people so we can deliver them to families in our neighborhoods.
And perhaps we can bring in Lori on this conversation because I've been seeing people sewing masks and what's the fabric store in New Jersey? Joanne Fabrics. I've seen that they are donating the materials for anyone that is making masks. So I'm not sure if they're still doing that, if they've lost all their fabric and the elastic, but I heard that they are. So call your local Joann's. I wish I had a sewing machine right now. We're going to have to raise some funds for that as well. But one thing I saw when people were discussing the homemade masks, and I'm not sure if Lori or anybody else had seen or heard any info on this, but, and I'm sorry, I missed the detail that it's either cotton is good or synthetic is good, but one of them isn't as good. So does anybody have any more info on that? Because I'm seeing a lot of folks that are doing mutual aid. They've run out of the masks. They're reusing masks. So I'm curious, does anybody that's on the panel right now have any info on that?
I've been trying to find information about this because part of the thing about viruses is that they're very, very tiny particles. And if you have a mask that doesn't work, it could give you a false sense of security. Also, even a mask that is pretty good at filtering, it might not have to filter out all of the viruses themselves because, again, viruses are very, very small. A virus is so small that it could go through the pores in a ceramic filter. The original word virus was called a filterable virus. So when they first started studying viruses, they knew that there were some infectious agents that were so small they couldn't be seen under a microscope. So they made a filter that out of ceramic that was so small, or with pores that were so small that it would trap any known bacteria. And the filtrate that could go through that could still cause an infection, that was called a filterable virus. And the big discussion at the time was, the word virus means poison in Latin. So some people were saying, well, is it particles or is it molecules? So it wasn't until the electron microscope came along that they figured out that it was particles. So the question of when you're making a mask is it going to be effective? And even if you have the material that's going to be effective, it has to provide a good seal around the, you know, otherwise, even if you had an N95 mask, if it's not providing a good seal around the mouth and nose, it's not gonna work. So before you put all sorts of effort into making the masks, get guidance from somebody who actually knows this stuff.
Yeah. And I think we've all heard that the N95 masks, even in hospitals, are really hard to come by. And I've heard stories locally that some of our hospitals are taking the sewn masks. And I'm assuming then some of them are taking risks. I don't want to scare people, but I know the people that are on the front lines, a lot of them went into this work because they want to save people at
right.
any cost. So it's just really sad to think that we can't get, as we were talking about earlier, these N95 masks. We have factories, we have manufacturing. Step that up and make these N95 masks and convert the auto industry temporarily into making ventilators, right?
They should be able to ramp up production somehow. I don't know who makes these machines. I don't know what kind of spare parts they need. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole major in college nowadays called supply chain management. So if you want to have an intelligent conversation about this, you'd have to talk to somebody who knows something about supply chain management, these things. And, you know, that's not my skill set. I just know that that's what it's called. I mean,
okay. Yeah. But we know there's people that this is their profession, and we know we have a lack of jobs, and we have people with skills that could probably be put to really good use right now. And we're going to need ventilators. If you look at the numbers where we're at, and as you said earlier, Lori, it's about who is actually getting tests, but we haven't flattened the curve.
No.
And I saw some numbers earlier about we're a little bit too close to China's numbers right now, US. And when you look at our map, it's New York City and the surrounding communities are the epicenter. And
this is not the first coronavirus outbreak that we've had. We've had plenty of warning that something like this could happen. Mm-hmm. There was one back in, I guess, 2003. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that one was so virulent that most of the people who got sick enough that you could tell that that's probably what they had. So this one hits the sweet spot where there's a lot of asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic people who are out there spreading it. So this is, you know, and people say, well, some people were saying, well, this is its case fatality rate is not as high as Ebola. Well, yeah, but Ebola has a 95% or 90% case fatality rate. I don't know the exact numbers, and that's going to I mean, that kills nearly everybody who catches it. But in order to catch it, you have to be in direct contact with blood or some other bodily fluid of somebody who's already really symptomatic. So it's a hemorrhagic fever. So it's causing people to bleed out of every orifice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're bleeding out of their eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, and you go to take care of that person, you touch them, and the next thing you know, you're sick. But the fact that people are so obviously so sick, that it's easier to contain that just because, but people who can spread it, if a disease, it can be spread by people who don't look sick, but still has a reasonably high case fatality rate. That is a major public health problem.
And that's what we're facing now.
Yeah, because in terms of, the SARS from 2003 had a high case fatality rate, but it was easily contained. This is not so easily contained. So the overall number of deaths, is going to be higher because of this. And it could utterly swamp the healthcare system like what they're seeing in Italy.
Yeah.
And the curve is so steep that the estimate of, well, how many people have it today as opposed to how many people are going to have it tomorrow or next week.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers, I mean, it almost makes no sense to report an estimate because it changes so fast.
Yeah. And so this will relate directly to the mutual aid that communities are trying to do. And I just really love what Teresa's doing. I had never even thought about the ideas of having these bins at the ends of driveways, because I think from what Lori was saying now and earlier, and I'm an introvert, but I love people. I love connections with my tight inner circle of people. So this is hard for me, even though I am an introvert. But as you're saying, this distance, and we know the virus can sit on items. So when we're delivering things, so Teresa, are your volunteers, are you wearing gloves, masks, or are you just being very careful with the product? How are you guys handling that?
Yeah, we do have gloves, and when we pick these items up, we clean them well. I do have a few N95 masks. We're doing the best that we can to keep everybody safe. But for me, I think it's really, really important to be out there doing this work, even at the risk to myself, because this is really about building community as well. This situation really shines a light on how our system is failing the vast majority of us. Mm-hmm. And if we don't start offering alternatives and actually building a vision of these alternatives, we're just going to go back to business as usual. And I'm just refusing to allow that to happen. So, so working together with the community and educating people politically as well while we do it, mm-hmm. and helping them to see why things are the way they are and how we can improve on them in the future, is a big part of what we're doing as well. And information sharing in general has been a big part.
I'd like to light this up. This is Penny. She's a poodle.
Good comfort
about coronavirus. She doesn't.
Yeah. And we have to one thing I try to do at the end of the day myself is I try to watch some comedy. I'll watch some stand-up comedy, because this stuff 24/7, it can terrify you. But let me ask Teresa if you could give just a really fast tips and pointers for people who might be listening and want to start doing what you're doing. What is the fast track way to get this up and running?
Start about 2 weeks ago and learn as you go. And just be talking to as many people as you know in your area. There's a lot of groups that have been popping up. There's a lot of resources all over the place. There's lots of advice. Start local. Local is always easiest. My network is in Morris County, so we're really focused on Morris County. There's other networks that are doing other areas because we have the volunteers in Morris County. I do. So I'm relying a lot on them. But everything that I've learned and built, I'm willing to share with anyone.
Great.
So you can shoot me a message on our Facebook page, Mutual Morris, or reach out to me however you'd like, and I can share what I've done with you if you're interested in learning more and doing it yourself. But we really are learning a lot as we go, and we're going to keep tweaking what we're doing as we move forward.
So volunteers or people looking for help from Mutual Morris, what is the best way for them to plug in and connect with you?
Most of the people we talk to are not on Facebook. They're not really online much at all. So the flyers is really the best way that we're reaching the people who actually need help.
Okay.
And our connections with local churches and low-income housing and things like that. We created a new phone number today that people can call. It's 1-800-596-7950 with an option. Press 1 for English, press 2 for Spanish. We have Spanish volunteers who are helping with the Spanish speaking communities as well. You can email me at teresa@markila.com. You can reach out to me on Facebook. I have never been on the phone so much in my entire life as I have in the last week. But I don't mind. You can reach out to me anytime. That toll-free number does go to my cell phone if you press 1 for English.
Okay. Thank you so much for all you're doing. And sorry. And yeah, just keep doing the good work. And I know you'll keep us informed and we can hopefully see these projects sprouting up all over New Jersey, because I don't want to make people more fearful than they already are, but I think we have to do this hunkering down and staying at home a little bit longer. So
maybe people learn to hunker down and stay at home and relax a little more. Maybe we really wish it didn't take a virus to realize we didn't have to go out every day and kill ourselves for capitalists. Mm-hmm. Most of, you know, we're still alive and we could have done this without it before. You know, I'm just saying. Thanks, Therese. I appreciate it. Heather's been quiet.
Yeah, I've had great people that were talking, so I didn't have anything that I wanted to jump in with.
Well, you are going to have to plug your stuff now.
Yeah.
We're about there.
Yeah.
Well, Monday, I'm going to be releasing a new episode of Wine, Women, and Revolution, talking about the economics behind all of this. It's going to be called Plague Economics, and it's talking about how the government could quite easily, like you were saying, jump in and start commissioning businesses to make masks and make respirators. They have that authority and they have that power, and they just, we don't have the will to do it. And that's why it's falling upon us and mutual aid to do it, because that the government, although they could so easily with just like a sign of the pen, you know, make the money to make this happen, they just choose not to.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate all your work. As always, every Monday we release Wine, Women, and Revolution here. You can sponsor Journey to Me, our independent production we're trying to get off the ground. We really appreciate all that hard work. And I'll be appearing with my comrade on Sunday in both Canada and the United States, live streaming.
Cool.
Very exciting stuff. International representatives from the Democratic People's Republic of New Jersey. Lori. Lori's got plugs, right? Does Lori have more plugs?
I'm sorry, what?
Lori, you got plugs?
Do I have what?
Plugs, stuff. You're going to do things.
Oh, plugs. You thought you said, do I have bugs?
No.
No, we're just dealing with viruses right now.
Okay. Yeah. If you go to Comizon and my book, No More Measles, here's a... and it's... being sold as a fundraiser for New Jersey Revolution Radio. Tells you everything you need to know about vaccination and why you should get the recommended vaccines and why people are afraid of vaccines and, you know, where this whole anti-vaccination movement comes from. Mm-hmm. There's a copy of it.
There you go. It's my autograph copy.
The main thing I want to get across in this book is that a lot of these diseases could be completely eradicated if we vaccinate the people in poor countries. Then we won't have any more measles. Then we won't have to, if measles, mumps, and rubella can be completely eradicated, and after that we won't need to give anybody the MMR vaccine. And once that happens, we won't have to beg people to give their kids the MMR vaccine, and we won't have to have ugly conversations.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people think that introverts don't like people. No, introverts don't like ugly conversations with stupid people.
Thank you, Lori Thomas. I think we got everybody plugging. Diane, you're going to be in the house.
Yeah. You know, we don't have that many, or I should say, we have no actions or events plans right now.
Well, canceled. That's our events list for the foreseeable future. Stay home. Go out to get, if you're healthy and you're a low-risk person, go out briefly to get essential supplies very so often. And just, like, honestly, I mean, I feel really bad for single people living alone. I get that. But yeah. If you're blessed with a family or a roommate or a partner that you happen to domicile with, you know, take the time to try to make the most of it. I've been playing a few more board games with my kids and having a few more conversations with my wife. So I'm blessed. And I know a lot of us are like that. So, you know, take advantage of it. There is some time for some good things despite all this absolute madness. We'll be back next week, right? We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
This basement from Diane's attic. from whatever basement or home studio our comrade guests are. Thanks to Teresa, Markayla, Lori, Heather. That's it. Until next week at 8 p.m., we'll be streaming this all over again live. Ooh, and you can sponsor. You can sponsor this stuff. Go to www.njrevolutionradio.com. For 10 bucks, we'll put your message on the ticker. You can say, hi, Mom. You can put your business up. You can do whatever you want. $10. It's a low-cost way. You can get your message out, and you can help us produce independent, anti-capitalist, revolutionary media right here in New Jersey. So thanks a lot for all your support. Until next week, this is Brian Powers, and I want to remind all of you that the police can quit their jobs.
And this is Diane saying, I don't want to see you in the streets. I want to see you staying in your homes. And let's flatten that curve. No more corona.
Stay safe, everybody. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.